This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Dusseldorf, Germany. This is our second visit to this city. We came here during COVID back in October of 2020. We did that because we wanted to spend a big chunk of COVID on a Caribbean island called Bonaire. But Bonaire restricted entry at that time to people who had spent the previous 14 days in one of five different countries. Well, Germany happened to be one of those places. We were in London when we realized all of this, and so we flew over to Germany, and we just hung out here for 2 weeks, mostly in Dusseldorf. It was cold back then, but it was not nearly as cold as it is right now. So back in 2020, we spent our 14 days in Germany getting cold in order to get warm. This time, we're here for the Christmas markets, and it's freezing, but we're enjoying wandering around and seeing the traditions here, but I'll tell you, this is not something that we're going to repeat anytime soon. Next winter, we plan to stay warm.
It's time for your tech tip. There is a common trajectory in a lot of small and not so small businesses when it comes to building out systems and managing data. We start with a good old-fashioned spreadsheet, but eventually we add clients and marketing channels and team members and project management overhead, and we look for more sophisticated ways to keep on top of everything. We play with slick, expensive software, we spend a lot of time and money trying to get everyone to use it, and eventually we admit defeat when we determine that everyone is just using the old spreadsheet. Now, I don't think declaring defeat here is inevitable. There are some great options out there and well-built platforms for keeping the wheels of the business spinning. But I'm not going to deny the appeal, the approachability, and the resilience of a good old spreadsheet. In fact, I would wager that as AI starts to either abstract away a lot of the more complicated software interfaces we deal with, or allows us to build the kinds of tools and workflows we want with little more than a few text prompts, the rather pedestrian spreadsheet actually begins to look a lot more viable as a kind of general-purpose database. And there are products out there like Airtable that have been taking this path for a while, acting like a spreadsheet slash CMS hybrid on steroids that you can pipe data into and out of, and on which you can build websites and client portals and all kinds of interesting things. I think one of the reasons the idea of keeping a lot of the inner workings and dashboards and data of the firm in a simple spreadsheet seems a little clunky and antiquated is because we are often relying on somebody to manually enter and edit the data inside. If we want the spreadsheet to be up to date with the latest information from QuickBooks or Clio or HubSpot, we assume that somebody is going to have to copy that information over by hand. And we hope and pray that, number one, that actually happens, and number two, whatever is copied accurately. So I want to talk about a few options for automating that data entry and for syncing your other software with your spreadsheets in both Google Workspace and Office 365, because being able to remove manual entry from the equation opens up a lot of interesting possibilities. First up, regarding banking and finance, there are a couple of options that I would recommend. Finta, F-I-N-T-A.io, which I have covered before, lets you connect as many financial institutions as you would like to as many spreadsheets as you would like. Bank accounts, credit cards, assets, investments, whatever you need. Finta currently supports Airtable, Coda, Google Sheets, and Notion. A slightly more comprehensive option and one that supports Excel 365 is Tiller, which is available at tillerhq.com. It's a very similar setup, allowing you to connect bank accounts, credit cards, investments, and other financial accounts, but Tiller also provides some very nice pre-built spreadsheet templates for making sense of all the financial data that you're pulling in. They have some default templates to get you started, but you can create your own, and there is a library of community templates too. These templates make Tiller kind of a reasonable replacement for Mint.com if you've ever used that service. I used it for years. It has been rolled into another service called Credit Karma now, but with Tiller's templates, you can get all of your transactions and balances, as well as some nice simple dashboards for keeping an eye on where things are over time. Finta uses a backend service called Plaid for managing login credentials and data aggregation for your accounts. Tiller uses a backend service called Yodlee. They are both established and respected providers in this arena, so you aren't having to do anything squirrely like save passwords in a cell on the spreadsheet or anything like that. Finta is about $70 per year, and Tiller is about $80, making either of them pretty appealing options if all you're after is a way to sync basic financial information. But what about other data? If you are using Google Sheets, there is a service called SyncWith.com that provides a few off-the-shelf integrations to sync data from Facebook, Google Ads, Google and YouTube Analytics, and Notion or SQL databases. So if you want to be able to track website, Facebook, or YouTube performance, it's just a few clicks to get that into a spreadsheet. More interestingly, it offers the ability to run standard API requests to just about any software you might be using, which will probably require a little bit of developer help to get set up, but it means that nearly any service you're already using that offers third-party connections can be hooked into a spreadsheet. We've used SyncWith to bring data from our Stripe billing, our ActiveCampaign email service, and several other products into Google Sheets to build basic dashboards. Again, this is one you'll need to get some help with when it comes to configuration, but the sky is the limit in terms of what you can import. Clio, ShareFile, Zoom, Calendly, you name it. Anything that provides developer access for interacting with its data can be configured to update your Google Sheet. A newer option here is a service called Coefficient.io. They offer a few more turnkey integrations than SyncWith does, services like QuickBooks, Salesforce, HubSpot, MailChimp, Slack, and Pipedrive. But more importantly, in addition to Google Workspace, they've recently added Excel 365 support too. So if you are in the Microsoft ecosystem, this is the option for you. As of right now, Coefficient doesn't yet support using API access for any other service that you want, but they say that that's coming soon, along with an integration for the Xero bookkeeping software. Both SyncWith and Coefficient have free trials and pretty generous free tiers too, so you can start experimenting with them in a limited capacity to see if they make sense for you. And the paid tiers start in the $25 to $50 per month range. Now, I'm still on the hunt for a service that does the banking and other services in one product. Hopefully one of these rolls that out in the near future. But if you're one of those people who is effectively running your practice from an Excel file or a Google Sheet, you may be surprised at what you can make happen by syncing with a few other tools. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. The odds are good that you can't afford a partner in your law firm. Now, why do I say that? Well, most of us believe that there is some intangible value to having a law partner. We're not sure exactly what it is that we're getting, but it feels right. Why is that? Well, mostly because big, scary, challenging endeavors, they feel better and easier when we have someone to share it with. I understand. I get it. And if I were going to sail across the Atlantic Ocean, I'd want to do it with someone else in the boat. If I were climbing Everest, I'd want to share that. Swimming the English Channel or running an ultra marathon or crossing the Sahara, whatever it might be, I would prefer to do it with a partner. It's easier, at least emotionally, but we pay a price for doing it, whatever it may be, for doing it with a friend. Instead of one swimmer crossing the channel, well, suddenly we need to get two swimmers across. The boat, it would need to be a little bigger in order to cross the Atlantic with a friend. We double the risk if we're climbing Everest. Sure, a partner, that brings benefits, but it also brings challenges. And with lawyers sharing ownership of law firms, well, it brings a lot of challenges. For us, when we face the practice of law, the Everest of our lives. Well, having a partner, I think it's mostly falls into that zone of misery loves company. We want to share the burden. We need an ally, a friend, a partner who is nearby. It's comforting, even if it may not particularly be profitable. I get it. I understand. And I encourage you to do it if that's what you really want to do. But be clear with yourself. Understand that when you're sharing law firm ownership, you're paying for, you're buying those benefits. Understand what it is that you're buying when you partner up. Understand why you're buying it and understand how much it's going to cost you. Partnerships, they are not free. In fact, sometimes they are incredibly expensive. Recognize that way too often these justifications for creating a partnership, these vague intangibles that we use to justify our partnership, they are often without economic value. The intangibles that we use to justify the cost of partnership, and the explanations range from operational to marketing synergy, or we talk about the idea of the value of coverage for taking vacations or time off, or we invoke the sharing of overhead. Those ideas that we use to justify our decisions about partnership, they're mostly very difficult to value because they are primarily without much economic value. The reality is that quite often we pay a very high price for something that we can't pin down from an economic or numerical standpoint. Economically, far too often, we're better off getting those same economic benefits in other ways. We could do things like hire an associate, or we could enter into a space sharing arrangement with other lawyers, or we could split the cost of various services. These stories that we like to tell ourselves to justify our decisions about partnership, stories about cross referrals or better serving clients, they're largely not as valuable as we like to think. We tend to minimize the cost of having partners in our business, and we tend to overvalue the benefits. Those benefits, and there are fewer of them than many of us claim, they come at a very steep price in lots of partnerships. Because there can be a significant cost to partnership, there is a tremendous value in you doing the math around your partnership arrangement. So today, I'm encouraging you to do the math. And when you do that math, it's important that you tally up all of the costs, tally up the dollars spent and the dollars never collected as revenue. There's a lot to this equation. Add up the cost of partners being indecisive and missing out on marketing opportunities. Add up the cost of mixed messages when employees are confused by management being out of alignment. Consider the cost of the lack of partner willingness to invest in technology or to update office space or to hire innovative thinkers. When you're looking at your current partnership arrangement or when you're considering new arrangements, there's value in calculating the cost of all of that. And I encourage you, for comparison purposes, to look at the benefits that you think you're buying with your partnership decision. Compare those to the cost in the market. What might it save you to have an associate in your firm who follows directions and instructions rather than a partner who debates every decision? What would it save you if you were searching for a new marketing vendor and you didn't have to share that decision and consider a multitude of alternatives? What if you could simply make the decision now and move on? What would it save you to have a team of employees who fall in line behind a single message from leadership about the direction of the law firm? Would it be possible to achieve all of the benefits that you derive from partnership by having a team of strong employees and vendors? Might you get the peer support that you need by joining a peer group of business leaders instead of forming a partnership? Can you make more effective decisions by, instead of debating issues with partners, by bringing in expert assistance in the form of a fractional CFO or CMO? Can you solve the economy of scale issues by sharing office space? Can you solve the cross-referral problem by better building your network of relationships? Not to trivialize the discussion, but can you solve the receptionist sharing problem by outsourcing your phone answering? All of these issues are worth consideration and evaluation and calculation. So slow down, reevaluate, do the math, calculate the cost of partnership, whether you are considering a new partner or whether you already have a partnership structure. Do the math. There are lots of options, lots of possibilities, lots of arrangements aside from partnership. That great lawyer you met, that person you want to bring on board, well, they can join you as an employee rather than as a partner. Yes, there are dynamics issues when you're the boss and they work for you, but anyone who has ever had a partner knows that there are plenty of issues in the partnership relationship as well. As you examine every claimed benefit of the partnership relationship structure, I think you're going to find that those same benefits can come from other relationships that do not require a business partnership. Law firm partnerships, they are expensive. Do the math. Determine exactly what you're spending on this partnership relationship. You can easily price out these alternatives to partnerships. You can put a price tag on building your network, on hiring your outsourced team, on keeping staff members. Put the number on the partnership. We know what a phone answering service charges. We know what we need to spend on marketing expertise. The cost of partners, that's just as calculable, but there will be these other costs in addition to the easy math that you're going to have to estimate. What is the cost of the partnership profits lost to the internal law firm conflict? What is the cost of the resentment when a partner is not pulling their weight? What is the price of the repetitive dinner time conversations with your spouse about how upset you are with your partner? What is the price of the agitation, the aggravation, the annoyance? What is the price that you put on your distraction from your other relationships, your family relationships? You know, I started this conversation by suggesting that you can't afford a partner. Am I right? You'll only know the answer to that question when you do the math. So start your spreadsheet. See what you find. You've got spreadsheets for everything else. I would suggest that the cost of many law partnerships, it's way too high. So do the math. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Dusseldorf, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.